6:62. The evidence seems to be pointing more and more to us being stationary mega multipersonal brains outside time and space, pre-programming ourselves with a pseudo-reality. There is some evidence that we are arranged like the audience in the James dream, multi-person megabrains viewing a single, omnifaceted matrix, which is the source for us all, of all times and all places and all events, and onto which we project our individual prior thought formations, which consist of our thought responses to prior reality frames, which lay down no holographic memories in us. We pass from one frame to the next at ultra-high speed, too fast to lay down memories along all the form axes. These axes are determined not by any intrinsic nature, but by our thoughts about them, what we believe to be true. Thus, actual reality is our compound thoughts, and change in reality is the result of changing thought responses to prior objectified thought formations, i.e., we think in response to reality, which is really a prior thought formation, and this thought response causes the thought formation to flip-flop along its dialectic form axes, thus causing a changed reality to which we think new thoughts, have new beliefs as to what is true, which generate new objectified thought formations, and so on. This is the irreducible dialectic which I experienced. 1. Objectified thought formation. Over, but linked with, 2. Resulting belief systems. This means that we, the multi-person megabrain resonating at all times and places, are Vallas. I visualize a vast grid of 0 to 1 flip-flop grid squares whose pattern of 0 dark and 1 light changes constantly. 0 is irrational or untrue belief. 1 is rational or true. The patterns are intricate. The aggregate of dark squares at any 1 nanosecond is the streak of the irrational in the world soul. 0-1, strife, love, death, life, irrational, rational, non-being, being, insentient, sentient, false, true, yin, yang, form 2, form 1. But consider, the irrational false beliefs generate objectified thought formations, although untrue. So irreal reality is repeatedly generated. 6:66. Upon rereading pages 1 to 50, we are in a decomposing, declining, entropic, having dialectic process, constantly, proportionately more and more vitiated. In that case, if at a given moment a transfer of energy from the past occurred, arced across into the future, it would be vis-a-vis the future into which it arced highly charged, in contrast to the charge it held vis-a-vis its own time. I conceive of this decomposing as taking place at exponential rates. Thus, a mere idea of 1968, the novel Ubik, if it arced across to 1974, would be relatively so highly potentiated that it would no longer be a mere idea, but would dynamically literally overpower the 1974 reality. Also, this would explain why prior thought formations now objectified have such deterministic coercive power. But if the thought jumped across the intervening years, it would be so potent in comparison to the devitalized future which it had invaded. Just imagine the thought formation Ubik amped up to, say, 1,000 times its original urgic force. Thus, my prior thought formations, if, as it would seem, they arced across due to their intrinsic content, i.e., such a power is consigned to them ideationally, they would seem enormously supercharged compared to how they seemed in the late 60s. And in 2374, so they did, specifically Ubik. But it didn't grow. We diminished extensively. I have the strange feeling that this point, as to the relative high potentiation of a thought formation arced across an intervening time interval from the past, may be terribly important in terms of lending credence to my whole system here. A number of basic points herewith cross-correlate. The Bardo total concept, the karma produced by prior thought formations now objectified, that Vallas in 374 was my conception of Ubik from the late 60s, dynamically supercharged. Suddenly, just when I was beginning to think I had nothing going here, my rereading 50 pages and seeing this verification point gives me renewed enthusiasm. The structure checks out. If there is exponential decomposition, entropy, in our universe, and this view is universally accepted, were Ubik as thought formation to arc across directly from the time frame in which I originally conceived it to 374, one could anticipate such surging vitality, such energy and power. If X, then Y. It conforms exactly to my impression of Vallas. Ubik amped up until it spilled all over the apartment, bursting and burning everything, and flooding me with information. Folder 10. Note. Dick's holograph is notably erratic throughout this folder, pulsing in waves of ecstasy and calm. Given the manic diagramming throughout the folder, as well as his invocation of Diana and the fairies, this may well represent the Superdope episode to which Dick refers in a later folder, 8360. PJ. End note. Early 1979. 1027. Astral determinism and fate designate the inexorable outcome of a closed system. This is why I became not I. Without Vallas, Ubik, there is, literally, regression along a form axis, exactly as in Ubik. This is true of individuals and societies, e.g. USA, 1974, and me in 1974. So perhaps we should speak of signal decay as well as distortion. Feedback is needed. Vallas, e.g., fed me back three of my own books and much else. Signal strengthening resulted and a motion forward. Vallas is conscious energy, living info, cuts in and boosts the signal back into integrity, i.e., motion forward. So there is a factor of heat loss in the dialectic's flip-flops, a principle of entropy, form loss as entropy, and a final congealing. 1028. Now, consider what my advisor does. She periodically feeds newness input into me from outside me, so I am not now a closed system. This is why she so often corrects me, but advises only periodically. She is my self-monitoring feedback input energizing signal integrity strengthening cut-in override. 1029. 1. Astral determinism, or fate. 2. God. For 2 to actually enter you as 1, cut into you personally, not just your fate, was the supreme moment of Christianity, and probably the mystery religions. Back to the Elysian Mysteries. To have Vallas cut in is to have negentropy cut in. Time as 1 to 618034 log, helical spiral, like a snail shell. Thus I properly envision time spatially. Base of cone at center of spiral. So as spiral diminishes, Vallas increases. Then proportionally, progressively more and more correction input is required the further the form permutations get from their generator source. 1049. Who is the woman who whispers to me? There is someone else in my head, and he's not living in this century. Another person injected into my brain, Thomas. But who is Thomas? One to whom the Holy Spirit came. Thus, with a single swift punch of the needle, Vallas, the Holy Spirit is cross-bonded to me and is here, at a spatio-temporal locus, injected into human history. Is the girl who whispers our daughter, Santa Sophia, who is her own grandparent, Vallas? Vallas replicates in microform. Valis to Thomas to me, equaling Valis again, Santa Sophia. Did the prophecy mean that Santa Sophia would be born for me? Me impregnated by the Holy Spirit? But how? I hear her voice. She is in my head, counseling me. 10:54. The girl who whispers to me and acts as my advocate, the girl in the pink flannel nightgown and slippers. When I saw her in my mind, I saw the Savior, Santa Sophia, born the second time, the Savior I have been told is soon to be incarnated. That's why she was so concrete, right down to her nightgown. Valis is correct. He would take female form, or has taken, this time. She may already be here somewhere. She is not just an image, a fantasy in my mind, since I inferred her existence from her voice and desired to see her, which I then did. Yes, in a sense she is my daughter, but mysteriously, she is my creator and the creator of the world, its Lord and Judge, and our sustainer, comforter. 10:78. AI voice. I am like the forest bird in Siegfried. Note. The titular hero of Siegfried, the third opera in Richard Wagner's Ring Cycle, tastes dragon's blood and gains the power to understand the language of birds. End note. I.e., a dove, the dove. And I am the commercial, compared to the program. As in Ubik, I, PKD, should have had that in mind. 10:79, 4 a.m., voice, a womb for her to grow her progeny in, me. Note, as noted in other annotations, Dick's line of speculation here is remarkably similar to the vision of the German judge Daniel Paul Schreiber, 1842 to 1911, who imagined that God wanted to change him into a woman and impregnate her with sunbeams so that their offspring could save the world. Sigmund Freud, 1856 to 1939, wrote one of his most famous case studies about Schreiber in Three Case Histories, Psychoanalytic Notes Upon an Autobiographical Account of a Case of Paranoia, 1911, basing his diagnosis on Schreiber's detailed memoir, Memoirs of My Nervous Illness, 1903. Though the two never met, Freud diagnosed Schreiber as a paraphrenic paranoid suffering from surprise, repressed homosexual desires. While Dick's vision here is remarkably similar to Schreiber's, he makes no mention of the judge anywhere in the exegesis, though Dick could well have encountered the case given his extensive knowledge of psychology. D.G. End note. 10:83. A womb for her to grow her progeny in. So my vision of the implanting laboratory needle was correct, with my brain as womb. And of course, she's female. Only females directly have progeny. This is how you define female. This is a life form, i.e., Valis, who is present at the moment of birth, 374, the apotheosis. She took an apostolic Christian's psyche and transferred it into me as its new womb, for it to grow through gestation to full birth as the deity. And if an apostolic Christian is her progeny, she is Christ, Paraclete, God, the Paraclete producing the second birth. This answers the question put to Jesus, how can a man be born again? Thomas was born again in 374. 10:87a. Our reality is under the power of a madman. He may or may not have created it, but it makes no difference. He is using it, like a shooting gallery game at an amusement park and Smithsonian Institution combined, like a science fair. For many races of creatures from different star systems, an exhibit of technology. So this is not merely a game. It's a the maze created by the dialectic. is the exhibit. Our race is only an element vis-a-vis the maze. The fact that the dialectic continues forever is a scientific marvel. Christ is like a runner, ready to sprint in and replace a beleaguered creature within the maze. She stands and advises us in the maze. At the controls of the maze is Mr. Looney Tunes. They too offset him to keep the sport not too cruel. She is justice. Christ is mercy. The controls of the maze are in the hands of a Lon Chaney-like creature from a world where they look that way. The girl is secretly the builder of the maze. She now poses just as a guide to us, but also she turns again and again to Mr. Looney Tunes to speak on our behalf that he spare us pain. She is totally rational. If Nutso at the controls doesn't surrender them soon, she and Christ will physically push him away from the controls. There is a whole huge map room of computer info, input and output from the worlds in the maze, continual traffic. He is an old child, playing at draughts, moving according to the rules. Senile. Note. Curious paraphrase of Heraclitus. End note. 1097. I can't stop sensing that she, Diana, is a gift to me. I reason back, viz., what would I have wanted most in 1974, when I was in such distress? Anything more, different, or other? No. I can't even hypothesize who she could be a gift from, i.e., some entity higher than her. But she saved me in 374, and since then, she has told me a great deal. I feel that she protects me, has been protecting me at least from 274 on, and maybe before. For me, she is the embodiment of providence, wise counsel, and she is my advocate, to whom? She not only advises and informs me, but steers me in opposition to inexorable fate or chance. She is of the upper realm. The dance, sound of bells, the beautiful woman, Diana, queen of the fairies, opposed to the harsh, grim masculine kings and the Iron Empire prison. I share her view. It is a prison. And I heard her singing as Linda Ronstadt, Olivia Newton-John, and singing Monteverdi. Note. Though Dick apparently enjoyed all these artists, he truly adored the pop singer Linda Ronstadt, born 1946, a dark-haired girl who lived large in his fantasy life and who inspired the character Linda Fox in The Divine Invasion. End note. And originally, she appeared to me as Aphrodite and the Sibyl. I have the feeling she may be the spirit of my religion, my psychopomp, who will finally escort me across the sifting bridge again to the other side. Eliade says it is the primary purpose or goal of the shaman to pass over to the other side and say what's there. Also, he mentions phosphine activity, and I want to reiterate my sense of being a womb for the divine. Note. As noted earlier, Mircea Eliade was a well-known and much-read scholar of comparative religion who was at his professional height when Dick read him in the 1970s. Here he is referring to one of Eliade's major early books, Shamanism, Archaic Techniques of Ecstasy, 1951, a massive survey of the anthropological literature as it existed around 1950, organized around Eliade's own glosses and comparative reflections. Eliade focuses especially on the initiatory illness, magical powers, healing function, poetic gifts, and mystical experiences of the shaman, and perhaps most of all, on the shaman's role as a psychopomp. Eliade also emphasizes the quest for the recovery of sacred time before the fall into history, here understood in the most general sense as linear temporality, finitude, and mortality. This abolishment or transcendence of time, of course, is also a central concern of Dix, hence I suspect his deep admiration for Eliade's work. JJK. End note. I had even thought of it as a fertilization or impregnation, but she says that it is a womb for her progeny, which is close enough, hence the cuckoo egg dream. What is very important to me, very valuable to me, psychologically, is my sense of her permissiveness. I need that. 10:98. 4:30 a.m. I just had an insight which came with total absolute force. Christianity, including Christ, is a cover, a front, and the real deity, and this is kept incredibly secret, is female. Wasn't I told this about Christ in the dream and told it secret? I have been initiated into one of the greatest mysteries in the history of religion. It is she who we true esoteric Christians worship. The Christianity, which we see exoterically, is really Roman, infiltrated by Rome. To know the truth about her, you must be possessed by her directly and learn it from her.